We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
You are listening to RotoViz Radio, a fantasy football podcast with your host, Matthew Friedman.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. the Oracle of the Action Network and RotoViz. Welcome to a special edition of RotoViz Radio. Today we are talking about the Dallas Cowboys. In between the NFL Combine and the draft, I am interviewing beat reporters for every franchise, 32 teams, 32 beat writers, and 32 episodes. We are covering team needs, free agency, draft rumors, basically everything between now and day one of the draft. For this episode, I'm joined by Drew Davison of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, where he is a beat writer for the Dallas Cowboys. In this episode, he talks with us about the future of Dez Bryant in Dallas, whether the Cowboys could draft Jason Witten's replacement, and what the team needs are for the defensive side of the ball. Before we get to the guest, I'd like to remind you that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all the premium NFL content on the site, and it supports the pod. All right, let's get to the guest. Please welcome to the show, Drew Davison of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. You can follow him on Twitter at Drew Davison, where he provides up-to-the-minute news on anything and everything to do with the Dallas Cowboys. Drew, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Hey, anytime, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Let's jump into it. Dak Prescott, fantastic rookie season. It seemed as if he took a little bit of a step back last year. Of course, some of that could have been due to the absence of Ezekiel Elliott, Tyron Smith at times for part of the season, maybe even the aging of Dez Bryant. Within the organization, is there a sense that the team has the right players around Dak to help him succeed?
I mean, they're certainly trying to build this team around Dak Prescott. I mean, the sophomore slump did not deter them from thinking he's a franchise quarterback. But, you know, they do, like you said, need to get the right mix around him. They brought in two new receivers in Allen Hurts and Deontay Thompson. Dez Bryant's contract situation remains up in the air. Dez Bryant, you know, very well might not be on the Cowboys at the start of 2018, but certainly this team is committed to Dak Prescott. Dak friendly is kind of their catchphrase this offseason. They want to design plays where, you know, maybe they can use his feet a little bit more and really kind of take advantage of what he does best, and that's working the middle of the field. So certainly the Cowboys are trying to do everything, and that's everything from personnel to game planning and designing plays to suit Dak Prescott.
So you mentioned the addition of a couple of wide receivers. One of them, Allen Hurns, just a couple of seasons ago, was a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown guy. What, if anything, does the addition of Hurns mean for Dez Bryant?
Well, I think, you know, I don't think either of these signings really replaces Dez Bryant. I mean, these were lower market signings, especially when you look at what Sammy Watkins got paid. I mean, Allen Hurns is a guy who they like. They feel like can come in and be a key contributor. But a guy like Terrence Williams, you know, might see his playing time diminish or even his role diminish and things of that nature, assuming the Cowboys, you know, keep Dez Bryant. But certainly they like what Allen Hurns can bring to the passing game, and they feel like he's an upgrade over what they had.
So if the team is looking to be very Dak-friendly and moving forward, they aren't really sure what they're going to be able to get out of Dez Bryant, is there the possibility that they could look for a wide receiver in round one?
Absolutely. And you know, and this is not a knock on Allen Hurns or Deontay Thompson or even Dez Bryant for that matter. Right now, the Cowboys do not have a true number one receiver. Dez Bryant has not had a 1,000-yard season in 3 straight years. Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams took steps back. And as you said, Allen Hurns, yeah, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver, wasn't last year. Deontay Thompson isn't that guy either. So if a Calvin Ridley is there, or if the Cowboys fall in love with, let's say, a Cortland Sutton or DJ Moore, they certainly won't be scared to pull the trigger because they do need to add more playmakers around Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott.
Interesting. Jason Witten has had a long career with the Cowboys. He's probably nearing the end. Do the Cowboys feel as if they have a potential replacement already on the roster, or might they look to draft a tight end with, you know, maybe like a top 100 pick?
Yeah, they certainly do not have the heir apparent to Jason Witten on the roster. I mean, they like, you know, what Jeff Swaim does in the blocking game, and, you know, he's got some catching abilities too, and you know, Rico Gathers remains a project, and we'll see how that pans out in the long run. But, you know, they do not have that sort of guy. They are in the tight end market, you know, especially in the draft, like you said. I mean, left guard, tight end, you know, those will be targets in the second, third round, possibly even the first round if the Cowboys feel like Dallas Goedert could really become the necessary playmaker for them. So, they are certainly scouting tight ends, and that is a piece they need to fill. However, they do kind of have a little wiggle room because Jason Witten, you know, has been kind of that steady presence, and certainly you anticipate him playing to kind of the level he's been at here these last couple of years next season.
You mentioned Dallas Goedert. Is he someone that the team seems to be high on relative to some of the other, you know, kind of like top-tier tight ends in this class?
I think they like him. But with that being said, I don't think it's really going to be a match at 19. I see him having either one of the defensive guys they're going to be targeting or possibly a wide receiver like Calvin Ridley falling to him at 19, where I think Goedert at that spot would be a little bit of a reach. So, you know, unless they trade back and get into the 20s, I don't think Goddard's going to be their guy at 19.
You mentioned the possibility of going with a defensive player in the first round. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. There are some good pieces on the line with DeMarcus Lawrence on the edge, David Irvin in the middle, Tyron Crawford as a guy who can play outside but kick inside. Randy Gregory might be coming back. But the Cowboys could really use a second body in the middle, and first-rounder Taco Charlton didn't have a great rookie season. Is the team looking to address the defensive line in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, the defensive line remains, you know, they could use help on all three levels, but defensive line, especially when you look at, you know, David Irving has a chance to be a free agent next year. Malik Collins battled some injuries, and there's questions of whether he's better suited as a three technique or as a nose. in Rod Marinelli's scheme. And like you said, I mean, outside of DeMarcus Lawrence's 14 and a half sacks and 52 quarterback pressures, the Cowboys didn't really get much pressure on the quarterback. I mean, the second, sack guy had seven sacks. And if you add up Malik Collins and Tyrone Crawford, they had the second, third most quarterback pressures. That's less than half of what DeMarcus Lawrence had. So they definitely need to get more pressure on the quarterback, and whether that comes from an inside guy like Maurice Hurst out of Michigan or DeRon Payne or Vita V, even though the Cowboys with Payne and V, they don't really value the true nose tackle as much in Rod Marinelli's scheme. But, you know, they need all the help they can get, and if a good defensive tackle's there, don't be surprised if they go that route. Or if one of the elite pass rushers is there, they certainly could use more help in that department as well, opposite of DeMarcus Lawrence. And then, as you said, that would free up Tyrone Crawford to possibly move back inside.
Yeah, all of those guys you mentioned there, round one type of guys, is there the possibility that they could also look to address, or not also, but instead look to address linebacker in the first round? Because Sean Lee is great, but he's injured quite a bit. Anthony Hitchens is gone. Jalen Smith might not ever regain his pre-injury form. So the unit looks pretty thin. There are some, pretty intriguing linebackers in the first round conversation. Do you think they might go with one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me the Cowboys' number one need or priority, it's linebacker. I mean, with Anthony Hitchens bolting in free agency to the Kansas City Chiefs, and if you look at Sean Lee and Jalen Smith's injury history, the Cowboys linebacker is the clear-cut number one thing they need to upgrade, because they've got young secondary pieces. You got to hope Taco Charlton takes a step forward, and they've got some defensive linemen to work with. But linebacker, if Roquan Smith or Edmonds they're at 19, or even if the Cowboys trade up to get one of them, I mean, I think that's the biggest impact position that they can address in this draft. So linebacker to me is, the number one priority over, we talked about the wide receiver and some offensive needs, and over even D-line and secondary help. I think linebacker, if one of those two guys falls to them, or if they trade up to them, I think those two could make the biggest impact next year.
Easy parking with Easy Trip, now available at Dundrum Town Centre. So you can now use your toll tags to park in our car parks. Simply register at easytrip.ie/parking. Easy parking with Easy Trip, Dundrum, where more happens. Easy parking with Easy Trip, now available at Dundrum Town Centre. So you can now use your toll tags to park in our car parks. Simply register at easytrip.ie/parking. Easy parking with Easy Trip, Dundrum, where more happens.
You mentioned the secondary there in passing, and I thought it was amazing at points, especially near the end of the season. The Cowboys were using three rookies as their primary cornerbacks, and those guys actually did pretty well. Jordan Lewis, Chidobe Awuzie, and Xavier Woods. We've seen across the league how dominant defenses can be if they have strong cornerbacks who can match up and play man-to-man. What do the Cowboys think right now of their young cornerback trio?
I mean, they're high on the young cornerbacks, and Byron Jones could move back to cornerback, and they really like him. The biggest question with those young guys is, whether they can stay healthy. I mean, Jordan Lewis and Chido Uje pretty much missed all of training camp with hamstring injuries, and it kept them out of games during the regular season. So they don't really have much of an insurance policy, but I mean, they're high on the cornerbacks. When you talk secondary, I think the Cowboys need to move more toward the safeties. Jeff Heath was, I think, third in the team in tackles. Byron Jones is, up there as well, but That's a position that they really need to address and upgrade, because if you just look at the Tampa 2 defense that Rod Marinelli likes to run, I mean, this is not, just look at the Buccaneers Super Bowl team. Warren Sapp, has the D-line, three technique down low. Derek Brooks, a linebacker, and then, of course, John Lynch as safety. So they need to find a John Lynch type of guy who can really make that sort of impact and be the physical in the box safety like Wentz.
All right, Drew, this was a fantastic one final question here. Jason Garrett, he's been head coach longer than anyone else in Cowboys history except for Tom Landry. After three straight 500 seasons to open his career, he's had winning campaigns in three of four seasons. But, you know, there's always this question about Garrett and how secure is his job. How secure do you think his job is?
I think it's playoffs or bust kind of for Jason Garrett. I mean, and whether that's fair or not, I mean, this is an organization that hasn't made it past the divisional round of the playoffs in 23 years. So there's been a lot that hasn't gone right. They're by no means the model organization these days in the NFL, at least for on-field product. But, I mean, Jason Garrett's got to win. He's got to get them into the playoffs. They haven't done much, you know, in free agency in this offseason to really improve when you look at what the Rams or the Vikings or the Eagles or the Saints have done. So, they face an uphill battle, but, you know, I think Jerry Jones still feels they should be a playoff team. And if the Cowboys miss another playoff run, especially with Dak Prescott under his rookie contract, I think the Cowboys could very well move in another direction. So, you know, even though Jerry Jones won't say it, you know, I think the writing's kind of there that if they don't make the playoffs, more likely than not, Jason Garrett's probably on his way out.
All right, Drew, this was wonderful. You take care. And we hope to have the opportunity to talk with you again as we get closer to the end of the season.
All right, thanks for having me on, Matt.
We just finished speaking with Drew Davis, a Cowboys beat writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. We covered a lot. Here are some of my general thoughts on our conversation. We started by talking about the future of Dez Bryant in Dallas. Dez has been a fixture on the team since 2010 when he was drafted. He didn't do much as a rookie, but in the 4 years after that, he was amazingly productive. In his second season, he had a 900-yard, 9-touchdown campaign. After that, he had three straight seasons of at least 1,200 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns. In general, over that time, on average, and he played in 15 games his second season and then 16, 16, and 16 games in the seasons following. In those 4 years, he averaged 134 targets, and kind of, you know, rounding here, 134 targets, 84 receptions, 1,216 yards receiving, and 12 touchdowns. He even had a punt return touchdown as a rookie, right? Like, the guy in his first five seasons in the league was fantastically productive. After that, after the 2014 season, he's really trailed off. 2015, 2016, 2017, there's been a lot of disappointment there. You know, within 2015, you can build in the injury that he suffered and then also the injury to Tony Romo. In 2016, he started the season slowly with Dak Prescott as quarterback. In the second half of the season, I mean, he was also injured for a part of it. He missed three games, wasn't quite himself when he returned from injury. He started to get healthy in the second half of the year. And as Dak Prescott got better, they seem to connect a little bit. And so Dez closed the season on a pretty decent note. But then for all of 2017, he played in 16 games. He was healthy. It was a really subpar year. 69 receptions, 838 yards, 6 touchdowns receiving. So he led the league in receiving touchdowns in 2014. 16 receiving touchdowns. But if we really look at what's happened since then, we're left with a guy who turns 30 this season and we're sort of unsure of what to do. I think a big question of Dez Bryant is, was he a Romo-reliant receiver? Tony Romo missed most of 2015 and, you know, all but one drive of 2016. He appeared in just one game that year. So Dez has been in just 19 games with Romo over the past 4 years. if we look at the RotoViz splits app, you can see that in those games, he's had 17.7 points per game in PPR scoring with 8 targets per game. With Dak, he's had 12.6 PPR points per game. So pretty significant, about a 5-point drop-off, 5.1 point decline. The thing is, he's had 7.8 targets per game with Dak. So similar usage on a raw basis. And if you go to airyards.com, a site whose proprietor is Josh Hermsmeyer of RotoViz, you can look and see that there's a clear decline in production with Dak Prescott in terms of what Dez Bryant does on a game-to-game basis. But in terms of the opportunity that he gets, it's actually pretty similar. So you look at 2014, for instance. He had an 11.9 ADOT with Romo at quarterback, 136 targets, 1,600 air yards. You can look at what happened in 2017 with Dez, and the numbers are actually pretty similar. 132 targets versus 136 with Romo, right? So very similar. 1,500 air yards in comparison to 1,600. Pretty similar. 11.4 ADOT versus 11.9. That's not a huge disparity. Josh has this metric called RACER, or at least that's what I'm calling it. RACR, Receiver Air Conversion Ratio. Basically, it looks at the yards that a guy gets for every air yard with which he is targeted. We see here that Dez had 0.56 RACER in 2017 versus 0.81 with Romo. So he wasn't good at turning air yards into receiving yards. But he was getting his air yards, right? In 2017, he had 0.39 of the Cowboys' air yards, exactly the same, 0.39, exactly the same that he had in 2014 with Romo. So he's been getting his opportunities. He's been getting similar usage. He's just not as good at this point at turning opportunities into production. And the question is that because he's getting older? That's, I would say, undoubtedly a part of it. He's had some injuries in there, so that's probably a part of it, right? But it's also part of it that he has a different guy throwing him the ball. You know, to get some sense of what is happening with Dez, maybe we could look at some other receivers. Terrence Williams, for instance. In 2017, he had a 0.86 RACER. In 2014, which was probably the best year of his career, 621 yards, 8 touchdowns, he had a 0.62 RACER, right? So he was productive in that season, but in terms of turning his air yards into receiving yards, Terrence Williams in 2017 was actually better. He was better with Dak than with a peak and efficient Romo. We look at Jason Witten, right? Tony Romo's BFF forever. In 2014, he had a 0.85 RACER. In 2017, with a kind of quote-unquote declining Dak, he had a 0.94 RACER. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean anything for Dez. But what it shows is that Dak wasn't a net negative for all of the receivers on the team. So it's really possible that Dez, just in terms of his productive capabilities, the decline that we have seen over the last 3 years, some of that might have to do with the absence of Romo and with the injuries he's suffered. And maybe he just doesn't have the same connection with Dak that he had with Romo. But some of it just might be due to the fact that he's aging and that as he's aged, his game hasn't really translated. So, I mean, Dez, he might be done. I mean, like, he might be done as like a functional producer, and he might be done in Dallas. Maybe the Cowboys haven't used him well with Dak. Maybe with a full season of Zeke in 2018, you know, we'll see Dez be more productive with less attention from the defense paid to him. I mean, he's due $12.5 million for 2018 and also for 2019. There's no way he's getting that money. So the question really is, what are the Cowboys going to do with him? I mean, if there's no Dez there, what did the Cowboys do? Did they roll out Allen Hurns as like the de facto number one receiver with Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley? And they sprinkle in some Deontay Thompson and hope that he can, you know, he can sort of be like the poor man's Bryce Butler. That sounds horrible. So if there's no Dez there, what do the Cowboys do? And even if there is Dez there, what do the Cowboys do? Like, what do they do if Dez is just sort of what he's been for the last 3 years? Which is at times dominant, but increasingly ineffective, right? If Dez Bryant in 2018 is what he has been for the last 3 years, that is really bad for 2019. So what did the Cowboys do? As Drew mentioned, the team might look to get a wide receiver at some point. You know, maybe round one. You know, maybe they could trade back a little bit and they might be able to hit kind of the value spot a little bit more of where they could get a wide receiver in the first round. I don't know if Calvin Ridley is going to be there for the Cowboys. My worst fear is that the Cowboys do draft Calvin Ridley. But maybe Cortland Sutton, maybe DJ Moore. In my most recent mock draft at Fantasy Labs, I toyed with the idea of giving them a receiver in the first round. I didn't, because I figured that they needed defensive help more, and they definitely do. But if they want to be a quote-unquote Dak-friendly team, what's friendlier than getting them a wide receiver in the first round? Ridley, I don't see it. I know he's, you know, quote-unquote a smooth route runner. I think the athletic concerns with him are a little overblown. I think he probably is good enough as an athlete to be a very functional NFL wide receiver, but I think his upside is kind of a wide receiver too. And I don't really see the point of drafting that in the first round. He has he's old. We know this, but just in terms of his productivity, he has the production profile of someone who kind of maxes out as a wide receiver too. DJ Moore, though, is interesting. He could be great. He's got the body of Hakeem Nicks with the speed of, or not just the speed, the athleticism of Percy Harvin. Like, he's really intriguing. Still pretty young. Very productive at Maryland. There's a lot to like about him. Cortland Sutton. I think he's the guy I prefer in my in my rankings, my wide receiver rankings at Fantasy Labs. I have Sutton number one. He is Dez-esque, actually. Went to Southern Methodist there in Dallas. A hometown guy. I don't know. I think if he's there, I could see the Cowboys drafting him. I don't know if I would love it, but I maybe wouldn't hate it either. He is Dez-esque in his ability to go up and get the ball. Like, he uses his body well. You know, former basketball player, he uses his body, to go up and quote-unquote get the rebounds, right? Like, he high points the football and all the stuff that, like, film watchers talk about. But more than that, he's got great athleticism for his size, right? He's 6'3", 6'4", was 218 pounds at the combine. There's a lot to like about him. Very athletic for his size. Good agility for his size. Good enough speed, right? He has speed, you know, the same way that Dez Bryant had speed. You know, like, Dez wasn't a great straight line guy, but he was fast enough. Sutton has that. And he has better agility than Dez had. There's a lot to like about Sutton. right? The Cowboys could do a lot worse than getting DJ Moore. And just in terms of like their quarterback situation of helping out their quarterback, they could do a lot worse than getting DJ Moore or Cortland Sutton in the first round. They could also probably do a lot worse than waiting and hoping that one of those guys makes it to them in round two. But, you know, who knows? One thing that I thought was interesting that Drew mentioned was that the Cowboys really might be looking for Jason Witten's replacement. And he mentioned Dallas Goedert specifically as a possibility that, you know, pick 19 would probably be too high for him. Goddard didn't run at his pro day, but he did jump. He did the agility drills, and he was excellent in those. He's a decent athlete, actually probably better than a decent athlete, and he has good size for the position, right? He's not like, you know, a move tight end who's 230 pounds. This is a guy who's 255, 260 pounds, right? So he's a legit-sized tight end. You know, but Drew thought it might be unreasonable for the team to look for a tight end in round one. And, you know, that's fine. I thought they might just kind of kick the can down the road in terms of finding the replacement for Witten. But, hey, you know, it is an interesting group of tight ends. And if they're looking for a tight end on day two, that's intriguing, right? Goddard might be there on day two. Mike Gesicki from Penn State, he might be there on day two. The same with Mark Andrews from Oklahoma. One of those guys is going to be available in round two, maybe even round three. And you look at the best tight ends in the league right now, you can see clearly that you do not need to spend a day one pick to get a premium tight end, right? Gronkowski, round two. Zach Ertz, round two. Jimmy Graham, round three. Travis Kelce, round three. Jordan Reed, round three. You know, Aaron Hernandez, round four. Round one tight ends are great. But many of the best tight ends available in the league today, you can find outside of the first round, right? So if the Cowboys want to be Dak friendly, they could look for a tight end on day two. And that could legitimately be a guy, not in 2018, you know, but maybe in 2019, 2020, that could be a guy who does make a significant difference, not just for Dak, but for the team. Right? So that is interesting. You know, they've shown throughout the years that if they have a good tight end, they know what to do with him, right? It's not just like a Dak friendly thing. There's a tight end friendly thing in place with the Cowboys. So if they get a, you know, an heir apparent to Jason Witten, that will be interesting. And it will probably be a guy who's on, you know, who's taken with a day two pick. If it's a day three pick, I don't even care. You know, day three tight ends, so few of them actually turn out. If they draft a tight end on day three, I'm basically ignoring it. But day two, that is really interesting. But in terms of day one, it's probably a defensive pick. The team really needs help on defense. The good news is there will be a defensive player available at 19 who really could help out the Cowboys. Whether that's a defensive tackle, Maurice Hurst, or more of a nose tackle type of player in Vita Vea or Deron Payne, one of those guys for sure is going to be available at pick 19. Right, the same with linebacker. Roquan Smith will probably be gone. He looks like a pretty locked in top 10 pick. But Tremaine Edmonds, Rashawn Evans, one of those guys will likely be available at 19. I think Tremaine Edmonds will be gone. But Rashawn Evans has a pretty good chance of being available. But out of that group of six defensive players, for sure, one of them will be available. And I bet two or three, maybe even four of them will be available at pick 19. Right? And if that happens, maybe they could trade back a little bit. They could pick up an extra day two pick, or they could get a future pick. And they could still get one of their defensive players. In the most recent mock draft I have at Fantasy Labs, I've given them at that pick Rashawn Evans. Tremaine Edmonds is already gone. Roquan Smith, definitely gone. You know, but at that point, they also have the capability of taking a defensive tackle of their choice. Defensive tackles in general tend not to be drafted within the first 10, the first 15, even the first 20 picks, right? So if there is a defensive tackle that they really like, they have a very good shot of getting that guy at number 19. But I think one of the three big linebackers in terms of Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds, Rashawn Evans, some people might put Leighton Vander Esch in that group. That would be fine. But I think there will be a linebacker there at 19 that the Cowboys could get if they want him. You know, as mentioned earlier on the show, linebacking, the linebacking unit is bad. It's probably worse than the defensive line. Probably the biggest need on the team. So if they can get a good player there in the first round who really addresses a position of need, that would be ideal. Closing out by talking about, you know, one of my favorite people on earth, Jason Garrett. Oh, man. You know, I don't think he's as bad now as he was earlier in his career. You know, I think teams far too often give up on coaches before they should. And so I think at a minimum, you know, we can look at the situation in Dallas and say that Jerry Jones has practiced some restraint and did not give up on Jason Garrett too soon. But, you know, you look at this and his coaching inexperience cost the team a trip to the playoffs in the first 3 years of his career, right? That's 3 years of Tony Romo's prime devoted to a guy who had no prior head coaching experience. From a ownership and general manager perspective, that was a bad decision to basically to waste 3 years of Romo's prime while you let a rookie head coach figure out what he's doing. You know, but since then, the Cowboys have enjoyed some success. And I mean, not just some, like, you know, a decent amount of success over the past 4 years, right? 12-4 in 2014. That was a great year for the team. Great year for Romo, peak Romo season, right? Great year for DeMarco Murray, for the running game, for that offensive line. You know, just a great year for the team to kind of establish an identity of what it was, like what it wanted to be. Of course, 2015 was the worst. You know, without Romo, the team went 4-12. But, you know, they used their number four pick the following year. They got Zeke. They lucked into Dak, you know, had a great 2016 campaign. They went 13-3, number one seed in the NFC, but, you know, didn't get the playoff win, but still a good year. Then last year, they struggled, you know, six games without Zeke. They were without Sean Lee for stretches, without Tyron Smith for some games, but they were still 9-7. I mean, you know, Dallas fans like to pretend as if everything is horrible, but it's not as if like they're the Browns or something, right? They're not the Bills, right? In 2003, the team hired Bill Parcells. In the 15 years since then, the Cowboys have had only three losing seasons, right? Only three. That is amazing. I mean, it's especially amazing considering the drama in Dallas and that the Cowboys have won only two playoff games in that span. And they haven't played in the conference championship game during that time, right? Given all that, you would assume that the number of losing seasons they've had would be much higher. I mean, just in any 15-year span, kind of regardless, in this league, given the parity that exists, you would expect even some good teams to have had more than three losing seasons, right? Look at Sean Payton with the New Orleans Saints. He's been there since 2006. They won a Super Bowl. They have a locked-in first-ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, and they've had five losing seasons since 2006. Right? They won a Super Bowl, and they've still had five losing seasons since 2006. Aaron Rodgers entered the league in 2005. The Packers have had one of the best quarterbacks in the league since that time, starting with Favre and then Rodgers. They've won a Super Bowl in that time frame, and they've still had three losing seasons since then, the same as the Cowboys. Right, so for a team that has done nothing in the postseason and always seems on the cusp of total collapse, the Cowboys have been surprisingly not horrible in the regular season on a year-in and year-out basis, right? And here's the thing. I don't know what that means, right? I think it means that maybe the Cowboys are better than people think. Maybe over the last 15 years, they were closer to, you know, playoff success, closer to winning a championship than people think. You know, maybe they were the type of team that could have won a championship if some things had just gone differently. You know, but it also probably means that Garrett has underperformed when it's mattered most, and that in high leverage situations, he's fallen short. So, you know, Drew thinks that this is a playoffs or bust season for Garrett. You know, I don't know. It seems like if Garrett were to lose his job over not making the playoffs, that potentially would have already happened. But, I don't know. We'll see. If in a year from now, Jeff Fisher is the head coach of the Cowboys, we'll know that the season didn't go well. Anyway, that's going to do it for this Cowboys Focus special edition of RotoViz Radio. Be sure to check out the episodes for all of the other teams on RotoViz and the podcast feed. I'm Matt Friedman, Matt F. The Oracle. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this special edition of RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Special thanks to Hassan Rahim, the producer for this episode, and to Colm Kelly, the assistant executive producer for the podcast channel. Please review the show on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Right now at T-Mobile, get an awesome iPhone XR on us when you bring your family over and trade in your old device. Because whether you have mom, dad, or a friend on your mind, it's a gift so bold and brilliant, you'll want to keep it for yourself. And most importantly, it's on us in 6 vibrant colors. Plus, with unlimited everything from T-Mobile, the awesome iPhone XR will have everyone snapping, streaming, and sharing to their heart's content all year long. But don't wait. It's only for a limited time. So visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE and get iPhone XR on us.
If congested, customers using more than 50 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds due to prioritization. Video at 480p via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers plus tax. Qualifying trade-in, port-in, service, and finance agreement required. Contact us before canceling or credit stop and remaining balance due. 64 gigs, zero down, plus $31.25 per month for 24 months. Pre-credit price, $749.99, 0% APR. One offer per account.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.